And each person in your household a two-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're only $67. That's it. $67 for 2 weeks of food that lasts up to 25 years. Call now, 888-524-6540, or use the special website, preparewithwayne.com. Preparewithwayne.com. Do it today and prepare so you can feed your family when a crisis strikes. 888-524-6540. 888-524-6540 or preparewithwayne.com.
The latest Small Business Optimism Index is out, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes takes a look at it.
The report shows America's small business owners and operators are slightly more optimistic than they were a month ago about the U.S. economy and how it affects them. The Small Business Optimism Index for April ticking up just a fraction from the March reading. Small business operators' biggest frustration right now? Finding qualified workers. A Labor Department report out Tuesday bolsters their concerns, showing there's a record number of job openings in America currently, at a time when the unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in a couple of decades. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Republican primaries are being held today in four states, including Indiana, North Carolina, Ohio, and West Virginia. Now, these are all states that President Trump carried in the 2016 presidential election. Please remember, you can find us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Shaquille O'Neal here. If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
Seemingly, we're still hearing from Hillary Clinton and doing interviews, and last week she came out and talked about if she was too much of a capitalist and that cost her the election. She's been out making the rounds, still promoting her book that came out a couple months ago. Well, Amy Chozick followed Hillary for the last two presidential campaigns, and she talks about what it was like to be working on the inside as a reporter covering a campaign.
It looks very glamorous, but actually you're riding on a lot of like stinky buses with other reporters, and you're kind of eating whatever food they serve to you that day, some stale sandwich, and, you know, going all over. I mean, I don't want to say it's incredibly exciting, but it is very grueling. Your days are not your own. You know, you're completely on the schedule of the candidate. And Hillary Clinton actually kept pretty grueling hours doing a lot of events. And so there are long days. Sometimes you didn't get any, you know, most of the time you got no access to the candidate. You're just kind of watching the same speech multiple times a day. So it really gets, it's a completely all-encompassing, exhausting experience. At the end of the day, after both campaigns, I traveled to 48 states and all counties and all 99 counties in Iowa, I think twice.
Chozick also said how she believes Hillary Clinton's time spent in the State Department may have disconnected her from the American people. For all of these stories and many more, remember, you can check us out online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America in the month of May, which is Military Appreciation Month. Folks, I'm a proud supporter of United American Patriots. They support our brave American troops who, for wildly inappropriate reasons, have been jailed for murder by our military because they shot the enemy. That sounds crazy, but it's true. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to begin a four-week review of the book Fighting Today's Wars as we discuss the conditions that must exist before we send our troops into combat. Then we're going to learn about our nation's Medal of Honor Museum, and of course we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Bo Bolgiano. Bo is an Army vet and a former police officer and an attorney. He co-authored the book, Fighting Today's Wars, on the topic of the conditions that we must demand before we send our young men and women into harm's way in battle. Welcome back to the show, Bo.
Thank you very much, Danny. It's a pleasure.
Bo, give us a quick review of your military and police service.
Sure. I started my career as a police officer in Baltimore, Maryland. I went to law school at night and assessed into the 82nd Airborne Division and was in Iraq during the first Gulf War. Then did Iraqi Freedom and the Afghan conflict with Special Operations Forces, and then went to the Army War College first as a student and then as an instructor. Unfortunately, I retired early due to a battle with stage 4 melanoma, and in the ensuing years, I spent time writing and representing soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine who are charged as a result of deadly force incidents.
So you know what you're talking about. That's the key issue. Okay, we're going to start reviewing the book, and the beginning part is sort of the forward and preface and intro. So give us an intro to your book.
Sure. My co-author, Jim Patterson, and I have noticed really since the 90s, starting around the Haiti intervention, that the American military culture has been breeding generations of leaders who are nothing short of risk-averse. And many, many fine company, battalion, and brigade commanders with whom we've had the pleasure of serving in combat are very concerned with this trend. And despite their recognition of this problem, they're often forced by the culture to remain silent.
Well, I was shocked to find out that what you said was true, because I retired from the Army 32 years ago, and that was not true then. It certainly wasn't true when I was in Vietnam. But I unfortunately have had plenty of opportunity to find out that everything you're saying is true. And risk adverse doesn't necessarily mean risking in combat. It means risking things that'll make their career look bad, right?
That's exactly right. And it's funny. I ask leaders this all the time when I lecture, how many people would die for their troops? And of course, everyone raises their hand. Then I ask the question, how many of you will get a bad OER, officer evaluation report for your troops? And there's a palpable hesitancy in looking about the room. That's the crux of the matter. We're talking about moral courage here, not physical courage.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a shortage of physical courage. That's that kind of problem. And the problem, I think, is that the troops, the junior officers, the enlisted men, they sense this, don't they?
Oh, it's exactly do. I was teaching up at West Point a few years ago, your old alma mater. And I was interviewing and talking after my class to members of their combat weapons team. And these cadets who are about ready to assess into the regular Army as young second lieutenants in combat arms came up to me and said, "Sir, we get what you're talking about in the realm of self-defense, but we don't trust our future battalion and brigade commanders and up to have our backs in combat." And I was just stunned by that revelation or that insight by these young future leaders that this has permeated down even to our cadets at West Point.
Well, it does show that they're getting a good education, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, they read, they're switched on, And I'll make a quick plug for a book by an outstanding author named Pete Blaber. Pete was a former squadron commander, 1st Special Forces Operational Attachment Delta. And he writes about this in his book, The Men, The Mission, and Me. And I'm sure these cadets have read Pete's book, so they understand what's going on out there in this very politically charged military where risk aversion has become the status quo.
Yeah, and that makes me sick. I told you before when I first started reading your book, I couldn't go more than a couple pages at a time because I got so angry. Not at you, but at the facts that you were revealing. Okay, this is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the environment that our combat troops deserve before they're placed in combat with Bo Bolgiano. Bo, let's start Chapter 1. It's about killing the enemy versus nation building. Talk about that.
Sure. Our armed forces and our operations manual used to say the purpose of the Army was to close with and destroy the enemy on fields of battle. And sometime during the Clinton administration, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright and National Security Advisor Anthony Lake pushed an agenda that stated that the United States could disregard sovereign territorial boundaries to promote humanitarian and more importantly, human rights goals. And this was in stark contrast to the real politic of Henry Kissinger, who famously opened the doors with China while ignoring that nation's internal oppressions, and as well as Ronald Reagan's Weinberger doctrine of limited goals in clearly defined end states.
Yeah. Why should we go in if we don't know who the enemy is and we're authorized to kill him? Because that's why we're there. The only reason to have an army is to kill people and break things, isn't it?
Right. And we quote out of General Hal Estes' book. He was a 169 combat mission pilot in an F-4 in Vietnam. And he said in a frontline interview, it's really simple as this. You do not commit militaries unless there's a vital interest to the nation at risk. And let's look at Afghanistan. We had a vital interest in a nation at risk when al-Qaeda was running terror camps in that country. We went in the end of 2001 and destroyed those terror camps and removed the Taliban from power. That was index. That strategically, that should have been index. But then this creeping globalism away from national interest to globalism brought about this idea that we can force a 32 distinct tribal entities at the point of a gun to become a Jeffersonian democracy. And that's just simple insanity.
Well, it's absurd. I mean, if you know anything else, most of the world is tribal in nature, and one culture isn't better than another. It's just different. And to try to force your position on other people is absurd, and to use our military to do it is even crazier.
Well, it really is, and it's ignoring history. A book I recommend is called The Fierce Pawns, and it was about the first British-Afghan campaign in 1838 to 1841. And I read it, and I got chills up my spine because the Brits were making the same stupid mistakes we've been making for the past 16 years, trying to force an unwanted national government on these tribal entities.
The difference is they weren't as stupid because they didn't have our experience to look at before they tried it.
Oh,
we had theirs to look at, and the Russians.
We had two British campaigns to look at, and the Russians. And the only person that subjugated Afghanistan was Alexander the Great, and that was just for a very short while. But what's interesting is if you compare what a general said in World War II, why are we fighting to save America and freedom from Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan? You know, I saw four-star after four-star up at the War College when asked by battle-hardened brigade and battalion commanders, why are we fighting? They tap dance for 20 minutes, and they never answered the freaking question.
And the challenge is a lieutenant colonel or colonel can't hold a 3- or 4-star general to the fire, can they?
No, not without risking having their career go smoke, just like we saw that poor lieutenant colonel down at the Joint Staff College that gave the presentation on Islam, which was nothing but true. He spoke the truth, yet he had his sterling career ruined. And it's really funny. I mean, we teach Clausewitz at the War College, and Clausewitz's sage guidance is that policy is not a tyrant. That is, it cannot demand a strategy that which it cannot deliver. Well, if that being said is true, why do we keep sticking our face in the chainsaw?
There's a lot more to talk about today, and Bo's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops hit the deck right now, and rest. The starting position for a push-up is called the front-leaning rest. Stay there till I return. I want you to lean and mean.
Spartan Ash is a proud sponsor of Front Lines of Freedom, and we would like to thank all listeners for their support of and service to our country. Spartan Ash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service and back into the workforce. As a veteran-friendly employer, Spartan Ash is committed to hiring, training, and retaining those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Ash and begin your civilian career with us. Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, your front door is the number one preferred entry point for home invaders. On average, it takes 5 seconds to break down your solid steel security door. To prevent this, reinforce your door frame by doubling the 2x4s and by using longer, case-hardened screws to attach the hinges to the door frame. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This report is brought to you by Facebook. There are a lot of questions right now on how Facebook works. People are asking, who can see what I share? Why do I see posts from ads? And how does Facebook use the information I share online? Facebook spokesperson Michelle Mandara offers tips on how to improve your experience.
You have control over the content you see and share on Facebook. If you see a post from someone that you aren't really into, you can click snooze and temporarily remove that person. Or if you want to see more photos of your best friend's baby, then click see first so they always appear first in your feed. You will see ads on Facebook since that's what allows Facebook to be free, but you can remove or block ads that you don't like. Our ad preferences allows you to control the ads you see on Facebook.
The app controls show you what apps you've logged into, the information you have shared, and how to remove them. For more, visit facebook.com/help.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunter County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our review of the book Fighting Today's Wars with author Bo Bolgiano. Bo, Chapter 2 is, from my perspective, the biggest topic ever. It's identifying the enemy. How do you fight a war or know when you've won a war if you don't clearly identify the enemy? And by the way, I don't think we've identified an enemy maybe since the Korean War.
yeah, it's really frustrating for the line soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine that are getting blown up by radical Islamic jihadists nearly on a daily basis, yet America persists in treating Islamist threat with soft power and the enemy combatants as criminals rather than an enemy to be killed. And it's so frustrating that people that knew this in the heart of our government, Michael Schur, who was the former CIA bin Laden case officer, said the Muslim world grew slowly resistant and then directly hostile to American soft power, seeing its attributes as something not to aspire to, but to ward off for reasons of faith or national identity or both. This is the guy that was working bin Laden since the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1993, and he was patently ignored.
Yeah, this is just plain crazy. How can we say we're at war if we won't name it? You know, when 9/11 happened, President George W. Bush said exactly the right thing. He said something to the effect of, whoever these guys are, we're coming to get you. Nations in the world, if you hide any of these people, we're going to come in and get them. They are our enemy. We're going after them. Perfect comments. We never did it. That's how we fought World War II. If you were some nation and you were hiding Japanese or Nazi German forces or hosting them, we didn't knock on the door and say, pretty please. We came in. Isn't that what war is?
It sure is. And we keep sticking, and I'll give an example of the problem. I had a student from Pakistan at the war college, and I just asked him right up front, you know, what are we doing wrong? And he said, here's what you're doing wrong. You're coming in and saying you'll build an airport or help build a military base, but then you want to tell us how to run our government. China comes in and builds us a whole port, a railroad system, and doesn't tell us a thing about how to run our internal government. And here's the point. The Levant, the typical traditional Muslim countries, let them stay that way. And that's their world. And we ought not be trying to change that. Yet, on the other hand, we ought not let them come into our sphere of influence, the Western world, and try to Islamize our culture with Sharia law. It's completely incompatible with our constitutional republic.
You have a very good point there. If we're only going to send our military out to fight wars, shouldn't we require, we, the American people, require that the Congress declare war before we fight a war? Then we all know who the enemy is, and we know when we've won. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's been said many times before, our military has been at war for nearly 17 years, and America has been at the shopping mall. That's not a slight against our population. It's just a recognition that they don't understand the existential threat of our combat operations. And maybe it needs to be better explained, but I suggest that we ought to be using our other elements of government to work our soft power, not the military. Using the military to conduct precision surgery is like using a mallet. And then when there's injury to the body, we blame the soldier. And that cannot happen.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We owe it to our soldiers to give them a job to do that they're trained to do. I like your idea of comparing it to using something like that for surgery. If our military is extremely good at killing people and breaking things, then nobody's going to want to mess with us, and we won't have to kill people and break things. But to use our soldiers who are trained to kill people and break things for any other purpose is obscene, in my opinion. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing how to take care of our troops by not sending them into combat unless we tell them who the enemy is. Okay, Bo, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so funny because we've been teaching a generation of leaders that everything we do at that level is complicated. And they actually use an acronym of VUCA, which stands for Volatile, Uncertain, Complex, and Ambiguous Environment. And it's been repeated so often that it's become nearly self-fulfilling. And read literally by these strategic thinkers, it says that a simple solution to an important problem could never be the right answer. And this ignores the Occam's razor principle, which is that you need to first try the simple rule. And the simple rule is you don't use the military except when you intend to use overwhelming force to quell an important, if not existential, threat. An example just recently of this silliness is, you know, sadly, we lost four soldiers in Niger, and two, I believe, were special forces, and two were special forces support soldiers. Now, that, as individuals, is an unmitigated tragedy, but the reality is they're in Africa fighting radical Islam. They showed incentive. They did stuff that special forces did going into Laos and Vietnam all the time, and now they have a six-month hand-wringing two investigations into the operation there, and then chastise the command for being too creative and too aggressive. Well, I'm sorry, isn't that what we want in our special forces soldiers?
That's what I was sort of thought. I was sort of thinking about that. But in my 2 years in Vietnam, in the first half of each tour was with a rifle company, and the second half of each tour was the division headquarters. I never saw a JAG. If I did, it was just passing them in the hall. I never was had a conversation with one. I never saw a general talking to one. I never saw one as a company commander or a rifle platoon leader. And I never was told to calm down. I was congratulated, even decorated, for leading charges. We're not there anymore, huh?
No, it's silly. I mean, at one point in Iraq, I'm not sure if it's still true, they were conducting a 15-6, which is a Army term for a commander's investigation, every time a round was fired. So every time a soldier fired a round, they're being investigated. Now, that will have a number of results. The first and obvious one, that soldier will hesitate before firing their rifle when they should and get killed. And then the second and third order effects is that artillery commanders will not pull the lanyard in indirect fire support mission for fear of being investigated. And that happened at Dakota Myers Medal of Honor battle, where a number of his fellow Marines were killed because they couldn't get indirect fire and close air support missions because of the bedwetting of the senior leadership.
So it sounds to me like we have a disaster that our problem in dealing with people in the Middle East is they have a culture we don't understand. Well, apparently our Pentagon has a culture we don't understand, and they don't want to change, and changing them is going to be pretty hard. Obviously, it doesn't apply to everybody. There's obviously still some people, very senior officers and probably very senior NCOs, who haven't, I don't know what you call it, yielded to the culture, compromised their integrity, whatever you want to call it. But there are a bunch that have, and everybody's going to work for one of them once in a while, right?
Yeah, no, it's. I hope this doesn't happen, but my fear and my co-author's fear is it'll take another Task Force Smith, a disastrous military adventure with lots of Americans killed and bloodied, before this atmosphere of risk aversion is attenuated.
I fear you are right. Bo, thank you for joining us today, for your comments. I look forward to continuing this review of your book next week. I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll learn about the nation's Medal of Honor Museum, and then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops do 150 jumping jacks, then take a break and do 50 more, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. Imagine being a U.S. combat soldier or Marine facing the enemy, doing your job fighting the enemy, and then being falsely accused of committing a war crime by our government. This sounds crazy, but during the last 10 years, this has happened too many times. United American Patriots supports these wrongfully jailed American heroes by providing civilian attorneys at no cost to the accused or his family. Check unitedpatriots.org.
Confused by all the talk about a good night's sleep? There's a lot of new mattress companies, but they're all missing something. They're missing expertise. Introducing Tomorrow, the new mattress and sleep system from Serta Simmons Bedding. Tomorrow is great sleep, delivered right to your door. Use promo code HAPPY for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com promo code HAPPY.
USA Radio News.
Within minutes, President Donald Trump is expected to announce from the White House the withdrawal of the United States from the Iran nuclear deal. According to sources, President Trump told President Emmanuel Macron of France earlier today. Former Shell President John Hofmeister explains what he believes the oil markets will do after this announcement is made.
I suspect that sanctions would be reimposed, which then puts Iran back in the isolation chamber that they were previously in, which will, I think, cause them to play more havoc within the region.
President Donald Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, said today that he wants the parameters of an interview between the president and special counsel Robert Mueller to be set by May 17th, which is the one-year mark when Mueller was appointed to probe possible ties between the Trump campaign and Russia's effort to influence the presidential election. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, folks. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's great sponsors, Honor and Remember, and their national sponsor, Spartan Nash. If you know someone who has died while serving our nation, contact Honor and Remember so they can be honored. HonorandRemember.org. It's a pleasure to welcome to Frontlines of Freedom Joe Daniels. Joe has just assumed the helm as the CEO of the National Medal of Honor Museum. He's got quite a background in working with military museums. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Joe.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Joe, I don't think you're a vet. You have been deeply involved in preserving our military history. How did you come into doing this?
You know, it's quite a story. The short version is on September 11th, 2001, I happened to be at the World Trade Center and witnessed everything that went on that day and was right there outside the North Tower when I saw people jump out of the buildings and I saw United 175 slammed into the South Tower. And it sort of like changed the whole trajectory of my career. And obviously, as all Americans remember, and as so many Americans did after 9/11, they signed up to serve in our military. What I chose to do was when they formed the organization that was going to rebuild the World Trade Center site and construct a memorial to the 2,983 people who were murdered, I got involved. The general counsel for the first 11 months and then sort of a battlefield promotion became president in 2006. And spent the last 11 years building that memorial, building that museum, and it's made me appreciate how important it is to preserve the history of what this country has been through and how will you respond when we face adversity.
Well, that makes huge sense. I couldn't possibly agree with you more on that. I teach occasionally at local colleges, and our citizens today don't know much about our history, even the most recent history like that. So finding ways to preserve it and promote it and keep it alive, in my opinion, is critically important.
I agree. I mean, it's interesting. You know, 9/11, of course, in terms of unforgettable national events, is recent, but it has been 17 years. And that means a lot of the kids that are being born today, all the kids that are being born today, and many of the kids in schools, it's an event that happened in history. And,
yes.
You know, what I saw that day and what so many experienced across the country and around the world, obviously the devastation and the incomprehensibility of why someone would fly planes into buildings to kill innocent people. But equally as important, and I think one of the lessons that we want to preserve for the future, is that when we were attacked, the outpouring of love and support and compassion from our fellow countrymen was just limitless. And I think in this super scary world of, you know, whether it's Al-Qaeda or ISIS or you name it, the idea that we can come together as a country, despite left, right, East Coast, West Coast, middle of the country, that there are things that bind us together as Americans, those stories are the ones that are worth preserving.
Yes, yes, and yes again. So you have been involved with museums in general, military museums, so for most of the 2000s, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. So the 9/11 Memorial and then the museum, there's a huge component of the military. And actually, the biggest component is really not so much what's in the museum. My favorite part is I got a chance to meet the incredible people from around the world, whether it's our presidents or I had a chance to meet Pope Francis once, who came and did a mass at the museum. But the most powerful visits are those who signed up to serve after 9/11, who are from all around the country, Mississippi, Oklahoma, who had served in Afghanistan or Iraq, multiple deployments. And they find themselves in New York City, and they come to the memorial, and they stand before these two massive pools and see the names of the nearly 3,000 that were killed. And for them, it's a reaffirmation of why they signed up to serve in the first place. And for the family members and our visitors who are at the memorial, there's such respect that these young men and women chose to go serve because of what happened on the very spot they're standing. So this stuff is so important, and it really is what drew me to the Medal of Honor, because it's a very the ethos is the same thing, which is the stories of the best of the best. They're not just about the people that went through them. In fact, if you ask most Medal of Honor recipients, they would say that they don't need a big museum to themselves. But when you say that their stories can inspire future generations to be brave in their moments, then they're all behind this and they want to share those stories in the museum.
That makes great sense. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the Medal of Honor Museum with its CEO, Joe Daniels. So talk to us about the museum. Where is it? What's going on? How can people learn more?
Right now, we're in the design phase. We've got a world-class architect. We've got a beautiful, almost 9 acres of land on the shores of Charleston Harbor next to the USS Yorktown down here in Charleston, South Carolina. To be frank, we need to raise a bunch of money, and we need to get people to be aware and supportive of this museum. If you go to our website at mohmuseum.org, you'll hear about what our aspirations are, to how do we create a physical institution that will preserve these stories for time immemorial. I mean, about 3,500 Medal of Honors have been awarded, and there's only 71 living recipients that are still around today. So there's an urgency to build this museum. I truly believe it is America's next national treasure. And one thing that I can say from being involved in leading the 9/11 project, the folks that support us in these early days who were just emerging, there's a real pride to stay with the organization, to watch the progress, to get the updates, and they can certainly do that at mohmuseum.org.
Well, I totally agree with you, because when you're starting a project like this, early money is really valuable, because you need to get it in. So, folks, if you really want to touch the Medal of Honor Museum, our National Medal of Honor Museum, this is the time that your money can make a huge difference, because it helps them go forward. It gives them dollars they can show that have been donated. In fundraising, this is a huge issue. So it's a huge point. And the heroes, and they do deserve the term. We use the word hero pretty loosely in our country. Certainly, recipients of the Medal of Honor are certainly in that category. We do want to recognize them.
I agree. And one thing that is so very inspiring is that the recipients themselves, I mean, you know, thank God most of us will never have to be faced with a decision like Kyle Carpenter, a young recipient, was faced with in Afghanistan, where he literally jumped on a grenade and is severely disfigured to protect his squad mates. But how many times do we, either ourselves or our children, have been in that position, let's say in school, where we're sitting back as sort of a silent witness watching some poor kid get bullied? And we know the right thing is to step forward and say, hey, leave that kid alone. I really believe that a percentage of our visitors are going to interact with this museum or interact with our national programming, and in their moments to be brave, they're going to be inspired by the stories of the recipients, and they're going to make the right choices. And I'm confident that that's going to have that kind of impact. We just need to get this thing built.
Wow, I have never thought about what you said, Joe, but it's obviously true. And apparently one of the big issues in our schools today is bullying. Well, here's the chance.
Absolutely.
And I don't care about being politically correct, but I do care about doing the right thing and raising up citizens with the courage to do the right thing.
100%.
Joe, that's awesome. Take a minute and wrap up the thought and remind us again how people can be in touch.
Absolutely. Well, you know, like I said, if you look across our country's 240-year history, there's certain events, certain stories, certain narratives that show who we are as a country when we choose to preserve part of our history. And the Medal of Honor recipients are simply the best of the best of who we are. Right now, we're building this tremendous, powerful physical museum in Charleston next to the USS Yorktown. And we want people to get involved and to donate, to sign up for our newsletter. They can go to www.mohmuseum.org and be a part of it. And there are fewer and fewer things that unite us as a country right now. We're often, you know, hyper divided for lots of different reasons. But this is one thing, values around being courageous, being patriotic, and putting others above self, that this museum is going to help remind people that it does bind us together. So looking forward for the support.
Thank you, Joe. And folks, if you didn't quite get the website, just email me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com, and I'll get it to you. Joe, thank you for taking time to join us today, to share your thoughts, and thank you for your service preserving our nation's military history. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much, and I'd love to keep you and your audience posted throughout.
Please do. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some weights. You should be up to 100 pounds by now. Do 50 bench presses. I want you combat ready. Then stand at ease. We'll soon be providing information on how you can attend the Sky Ball. I went to it last year, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing. I'll soon be sharing about it and how its goal is to help our military and veterans and their families. This is an activity of the Air Power Foundation, an amazing group of patriots who just want to take care of our military community. We'll be sharing more about this over the next month. You're going to love this.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's first?
Tim Crickman is a retired captain and medic with the fire department and listens to Front Lines of Freedom on 720 KFIR in Sweet Home, Oregon. He writes, I have been listening to your program for some time now and truly appreciate the format. Though I never served in the military, I feel a closeness to the material presented. At the time, back when I had a choice, either the Marine Corps or the fire service, an occupation our family served dating back to the 1920s, offering all due respect to our military, my only disappointment in the 40 years I served is the lack of concern over line-of-duty injury of firefighters and permanently disabled, unable-to-work firefighters. As for myself, I feel little difference between military and police firefighters when it comes to the front line. My hope one day is the firefighter and police will be recognized for what we do when called to duty.
Thank you for your comments, Tim. First responders are willing to and do put their lives on the line every day to protect their citizens. They definitely deserve the respect of all, and when hurt in the line of duty, they should certainly receive appropriate care.
Sarah really enjoyed your interview with Bo about rules of engagement. She would not want her kids serving in our military if they could be arrested for doing their jobs.
Sarah, you are absolutely right. And you just heard Bo again today, and you're going to hear a lot more from Bo Bogliano. We'll be reviewing his book on that topic for 3 more weeks. Well, you know, gents, before we get to military history, the other day I was thinking about my tour at Fort Knox, Kentucky. At the time, Fort Knox was the home of the Army's Armor Branch. It was an honor for me as an infantryman to be selected to attend the Armor Branch's advanced course, which was located there. Most of my infantry peers were sent to the infantry course at Fort Benning. Back then, the advanced course was a 9-month training for captains and junior majors to prepare them for service at the staffs of higher commands. There were well over 100 students in my class, and maybe 20 were infantrymen. We banded together so we could pick on the armor guys. I helped devise a game of spring butt bingo. Every student who wanted to play got a standard bingo card, 5 boxes high and 5 boxes wide. In each box, you could write the name of one of our classmates. No single classmate's name could be used more than twice. Each time a student raised his hand to ask a question in class and was called on by the instructor, it was like calling a number in bingo. If you had his name on your card, you could fill it in. And the first student to get coverall bingo had to stand up and ask a question with a phrase that we had designed. The phrase would be something like, tanks are too slow, or infantry leads the way. That would end the game, and one of us would walk over to the student and give him his prize. And despite this goofing off, I did graduate on the commandant's list of that class.
Well, Colonel, I'm not surprised, but you know, you said the infantry soldiers ganged up on the armored guys.
Well, of course.
You know, but in battle, you probably appreciate those armored guys just a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, when they show up.
That's true. That's too few and far between.
But when they show up, we're glad to see them. Okay, Skip, it's time for military history. Lead out, dude.
On 7 May 1945, during World War II, German General Alfred Jodl signed the unconditional surrender of all German forces in northwestern France. At first, General Jodl hoped to limit the terms of German surrender to only those forces still fighting the Western Allies. But General Dwight Eisenhower demanded complete surrender of all German forces, those fighting in the East as well as in the West. If this demand was not met, Eisenhower was prepared to seal off the Western Front, preventing Germans from fleeing to the West in order to surrender, thereby leaving them in the hands of the Soviet forces. Jodl radioed Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz, Hitler's successor, with the terms. Dönitz ordered him to sign. So with Russian General Ivan Suslaparov and French General François Sévèze signing as witnesses and General Walter Battle Smith, Ike's chief of staff, signing for the Allied Expeditionary Force, Germany was at least on paper defeated. Fighting would still go on in the East for another day, but the war in the West was over. Alfred Jodl, who was wounded in the assassination attempt on Hitler on July 20, 1944, would be found guilty of war crimes at Nuremberg and hanged on October 16, 1946, then granted a pardon posthumously in 1953 after a German appeals court found Jodl not guilty of breaking international law.
I wonder how he felt.
Yeah. It's like, thanks but no thanks, right? Yeah.
And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's your story this week, Colonel?
Well, Wednesday morning in Detroit, 56-year-old Alan Ferris decided to begin a crime spree spanning 7 hours. The crime spree started about 9 p.m. Tuesday west of Detroit with an attempted carjacking and two other carjackings that left two women wounded. A third woman was forced to drive into the Detroit enclave of Highland Park, where she was dropped off. About 3:30 a.m. Wednesday, Ferris exchanged gunfire in Detroit with an undercover state trooper he tried to carjack. Police say shots were also fired when the officers saw Ferris behind a garage about 4 hours later. He was found dead, and no officers were wounded.
Thanks, Colonel. Carjackings are one of the easiest crimes to avoid because they require the cooperation of the victim in order to be successful. Despite that, carjackings continue to persist because drivers either don't know how to respond or don't have the courage to resist. Here are a few tactical tips you can use to prevail in the event you are carjacked. 1. Take advantage of exigent circumstances. You are behind the wheel of a 3,000-pound bullet. You can step on the gas and drive away, and that is by far the best tactical response. When you stop in traffic, always leave a car's length distance between you and the vehicle to your front. This gives you options and room to maneuver. If a deadly threat exists, don't hesitate to use that 3,000-pound bullet to your advantage. If that means running over your attacker or smashing into his motorcycle, then so be it. Just make sure your response is legally justified. 2. Always keep your doors locked anytime you are inside your vehicle. This keeps you from being surprised. When you see any sign of danger, just drive away, but always keep the car moving whenever possible. 3. Always carry your firearm when driving in big city traffic. One of my students was stopped at a Detroit traffic light when a man walked up to his car and rapped on his window with a pistol. My student nodded, drew his own firearm, and pointed it at the carjacker, who immediately fled. 4. Always operate at a heightened state of awareness when in the city. People tend to relax inside their vehicle because they feel invulnerable. Don't let this happen to you. And finally, 5. Also be aware that police officers refer to a car as a mobile coffin. If a gunfight ensues while you're behind the wheel, you will probably lose. That's why quickly driving away is usually your best option. And let's end it with one final tip for the bad guys. Colonel, guess what it is?
Don't do it.
Okay. More specifically, never try to carjack an off-duty state trooper. It's just not a good career move.
You know, and I'd add to that, if somebody does end up in your car, run into a telephone pole or something. You're behind the wheel and you got your seatbelt on.
That's right. I always have my seatbelt on.
Our movie of the month is A Note of Triumph, the Norman Corwin story. There is a military aspect. Please go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and we want your input. Our book giveaway this week is Bo Bogliano's Fighting Today's Wars. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny at frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put Fighting Today's Wars in the subject line. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll discuss our military's abuse of our Navy SEALs with their attorney, retired Colonel Colby Volke. We'll continue our review of Bo Bogliano's book, Fighting Today's Wars, focusing on rules of engagement when we fight wars. Then Front Lines of Freedom contributor Faye Green will join us to share some insights.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. And join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.
In accordance with U.S. flag code, all Spartan Ash retail stores collect customers' old, worn, faded, and or frayed American flags. In partnership with local veterans groups, we properly retire the flags we collect, a program we have offered since Veterans Day 2015.
It's a part of Spartan Ash's commitment to patriotism and serving our military heroes and their families. To find a store near you, visit SpartanNash.com.
This report is brought to you by the Road to Zero Coalition, led by the National Safety Council. Fatal roadway crashes have been increasing, not decreasing, over the past 2 years. In 2016, more than 37,000 Americans were killed each year on public roads, 5,000 more than in 2011. A broad-based coalition has come together through the Road to Zero Coalition to share a vision for a future without any roadway fatalities. They are sharing knowledge on what works today, hope for technology solutions, and a call to prioritize safety every time we are on the roads. This vision is available now. Deborah A.P. Hirschman, President and CEO of the National Safety Council.
Over 50 years ago, we pledged to put a man on the moon. Many thought it was impossible. The Road to Zero Coalition's goal today is to eliminate roadway deaths by 2050. Like going to the moon, it will take leadership, commitment, and new technology. This report lays out how we can make traffic fatalities a thing of the past.
For more information, visit nsc.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. In a few moments, I will sign a presidential memorandum to begin reinstating U.S. nuclear sanctions on the Iranian regime. We will be instituting the highest level of economic sanction.
Shortly after 2 o'clock Eastern Time, President Donald Trump with that announcement that the United States will leave the Iran nuclear deal. The president also had some news regarding the three Americans being held in North Korea.
Secretary Pompeo is right now going to North Korea. He will be there very shortly in a matter of virtual, probably an hour. He's got meetings set up. We have our meeting scheduled. We have our meeting set.
This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Many residents voice their frustration and anxiety after being forced to evacuate their homes as lava and hazardous fumes spewed on Hawaii's Big Island. But the big question many people have is it over yet? Well, Janet Babb is with the U.S. Geological Society. She says Hawaii is not out of the woods quite yet.
I think what we can say is this is not over. The seismicity continues. There's still magma within the rift zone, and so I think for the foreseeable future, this eruption is likely to continue.
The least watched primetime program on Fox News drew more viewers than its most watched counterpart on CNN, Fox News at Night with Shannon Bream drew an average of 1.5 billion viewers during the month of April. That's according to Nielsen. Now, CNN's most-watched show was Anderson Cooper 360, which had an average audience of 1.1 million people. Please remember, you can check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample.